Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome to this Wednesday, June 20th edition of The Preacher and the Miracle Man show. And I am your host for this evening, The Miracle Man. And as usual, I am here from Donald's, 1711. I'm here at the McDonald's at 1711 South Saginaw Road here in Midland, right across the road from a Kmart. And a Save-A-Lot grocery store, and on Saginaw Road. I'm just northwest of a Marathon Admiral gas station and southeast of a Disability Network of Mid-Michigan office. And so, it's where I'm here, in between the front and the back of the restaurant, kind of in the middle. And so I'm in here, and as usual, I have with me the most delicious soft drink ever. I'm talking about Coca-Cola. Yes, I know you can get a Dr. Pepper at McDonald's, Preacher Man, but let me tell you, Preacher, you're listening to the show, Preacher Man, your Dr. Pepper does not compare to my Coke. It doesn't. And by the way, I also tonight got a Reese's McFlurry because I wanted an ice cream, and Reese's McFlurry's, I think, is some of the best ice cream you can have. Notice I didn't say the best, because there's a lot of different ice creams I like. A lot of different flavors that I enjoy. Like from Dairy Queen. Other various places. But there's nothing on a warm summer sunny day like some ice cream. Even though it did only hit 73 today, still is summertime. And the summer solstice is actually tomorrow. And so, you know, happy summer solstice. And so, I've been thinking about something lately. Those ball pits. You know, when I was little, some of you listeners that are near my age might remember this, or some of you moms that had kids back in the 1990s might remember when you'd go to a McDonald's burger, when you'd go to a McDonald's place, you know, your kid, you'd go up there, and one of the first things you'd see was the wonderful ball pit. The wonderful ball pit with all those balls. Just sounded so cool being in there, hearing all those balls and playing with all those balls. It was just fun. I was hoping I'd never find the bottom. I used to think that when I'd go in there, but unfortunately, they took away all the balls. The real sad part about that is they did it before I was too tall to go up there. I was hoping I'd never see the ball pits come to an end. Unfortunately, I did. I remember when I came to this McDonald's in July of 2000, a week or so after my birthday. What am I wondering? So, did appear. But a ball pit that actually didn't even have any balls in it. A sad sight, to be honest with you, because I really enjoyed those plastic balls when I was a kid. And honestly, if I had little kids, I'd want to be in those balls myself with them, because I think they're awesome, but not without kids. But just to make throw back to a long time ago with McDonald's Playlands, actually, there used to be a lot of outdoor McDonald's Playlands. And I did not know this, but the first ever McDonald type playland was actually invented in 1972. And it was at the Illinois State Fair. And it was a test to see how it would do. And it did really well. And they had the various things. They had the certain slide. What? Where was what at? Sorry about that. But so they had that big playland in Illinois, and then later that year near Chicago. No, actually in California was where the first McDonald's play park opened that was at a McDonald's. But at first, a lot of them were outside. When I was really little, I believe this McDonald's used to have an outdoor play place. But by either 94 or 95, it had been enclosed. Because I recall in 1996, I came to this McDonald's, and it had an indoor play place. And to me, it seemed so huge. It had seemed bigger than the Burger King one that I had been at about a month or two prior. And you want to know something funny? Maybe I did go in some McDonald's play places before the age of 6, but I don't remember them. I remember the first one McDonald's play place I went to I know of was in 1995. I'm sure I went to some before that, but as I just said, I don't remember them. But to me, it seemed so huge. It just seemed so huge, you know. You had the ball pits, then you had this, then you had that, then you had the slide. And that silly merry-go-round thing. It just seems so whimsical and magical to me, my 6-year-old self. Of course, over time, started to seem smaller and smaller. Unfortunately, now at this McDonald's, they have actually downsized the play area. Josh, I don't think there's two slides in there. Is there? Is there anything where the ball pit used to be? You'd go up a little thing, and then there'd be a pit-type thing, and that's where the balls used to be. In like 2000, they took the balls away. But, folks, it is not. Unfortunately, that play place is not the same as I remember it. Because I remember it used to have a red slide and green slide. But McDonald's, nowadays, a lot of times when they redo a McDonald's, a lot of times they will actually take the play place out. And I think that's kind of sad. Because what if it's real cold out? What if you're nowhere near a mall? What if, you know, what if you're nowhere near, what if it's winter and you're nowhere near a mall and you're in like a Claire or something like that? And, you know, you can't go to the park because it's so cold. Where are you going to take the kids to play after they eat at McDonald's? Somewhere to play. That's why McDonald's, I think, needs to keep their play places where they have them. And I can remember one time a babysitter, you know, she asked me, you know, for lunch, want to go to McDonald's? I'm like, yeah. I was like, eight, you know, and she asked me, you know, you want to go to the little one that's on Eastman, or you want to go to the one at the Great Big Jungle? And I said, you know, the big one. At that point, I wasn't sure whether that was Eastman or this. It turned out that it was this. Somewhere on Eastman used to have a playland, and honestly, to me, that play place was not the same. It had some decent ages and stuff, but no ball pit. And it, well, you could tell it was scaled down. One slide instead of two. It was just different to me from this 1711 South Saginaw Road. So, that's just something that was on my mind, was those good old McDonald's play places. And that is why, other than the mall, McDonald's, this one had been my favorite McDonald's in town since the age of about 8. Before then, a lot of times we just go through the drive-thru and she'd say, where do you guys want to go? You know, sometimes she would just take us, my mom, when we were little. Sometimes we'd end up at Burger King, other times McDonald's, other times Rallies or Hardee's. You know, back in, up until 1996, early 97, we had a Hardee's in this town. Right near Taco Bell, north, up by Eastman. When we had a Hardee's in this town. And then, unfortunately, all the McDonald's, the Hardee's basically got taken out of Michigan. Now, slowly but surely, a few have entered back into Michigan. Only a few. Generally, though, to find a Hardee's, you generally have to go to the south. And you know, when we were little, I'm sure I would just get the kids' meals. But my favorite places to grab a Happy Meal, even when I was little, like under the age of 8, was McDonald's. And you talk about brand loyalty, you know, back in the 90s, McDonald's would do this. Now, McDonald's has kind of pulled away from advertising towards kids. I know there's reasons for that. I don't want to get into them. In my mind, you can thank the Science for Public Interest. I mean, the Centers for Science and the Public Interest, who is a crazy group. I'm not going to get into all that crazy stuff, but they were trying to change habits and all that kind of stuff. Quite honestly, I don't know what's wrong with having a hamburger ad and a French fry and a Coke ad on the children's television show. Nothing. In fact, in the 90s, I enjoyed those ads. I was at Babysitter's House or something. We were listening to the TV and I heard those ads. Sometimes it had no effect. Other times it did make me want a Happy Meal. But, you know, I have to say, a lot of these companies, back then McDonald's would do this, they would have the strategy, what they call cradle to grave advertising. So that way they'll try to have you, get you to really like a certain brand by the age of 2. When I could identify that McDonald's was my favorite fast food place, I would say I was about 3 or 4. That's about what I would say. Now, is McDonald's my favorite fast food place? Yes, if you look at what's available in this town. However, when given the choice in some other cities, I mean other places where it is available, I will be more apt to choose something like Sonic, Chick-fil-A, maybe Popeye's Chicken or something like that. Sonic for a burger, though, and that's just because, you know, I've discovered that there's more options out there. And so that was about me and McDonald's as a child. And, of course, I did just briefly talk about how companies like McDonald's, in a sense, they still do cradle to grave, but not as much at the little kids like they used to. But I would say maybe 12 to grave, maybe advertising now. I don't know. You know, because they believe that having that exposure can lead to a lifetime of purchases. And in a city with a Sonic, a Halo Burger, a Chick-fil-A, a Popeye's, White Castle, you know, things like that, there would still be McDonald's purchases, quite a few, but I would say that quite a bit of what I get at McDonald's now, I would get somewhere else, as far as just you're in your town and you want a quick, fast bite to eat, so where are you going to go? So it's just a bit about me and McDonald's. So now that we have that rant out of the way, here is the plan for tonight. The Tigers had a series with the Cincinnati Reds. I say had because it was only a two-game series, number one. Number two, there was a game last night, and then there was a game today at 1:10 p.m. I'll let you know the results of both of those. Also in sports, there has been speculation on where sportscasters on a couple different stations have said where they think LeBron will go. I'm going to give my two cents. I'm not going to tell you whether I agree with them or disagree with them, because I'm going to tell you what I think, where I think he's going to go. Will he stay in Cleveland or will he go somewhere else? Well, you've got to listen for that part of the program. So, you're thinking, well, Miracle Man, you told us what you're going to talk about sports, but what about the reading and the Word of God? Well, tonight we're going to look at Numbers chapter 29. Well, God's still speaking to children of Israel and to Moses. By that point, Aaron's dead. So, we're going to do that. And then we're also going to, as we always do, look at Hebrews chapter 11. And then read the first two verses of chapter 12. So, for tonight, it's pretty straightforward, the plan. We're going to do Hebrews 11 and 12, Numbers chapter 28. I'm going to exhort based on whatever God has me exhort on. And then we're going to do the Tigers and what they did, as well as my LeBron speculation. And where will LeBron go? Over and also in NBA, can anyone beat the Warriors before they get to the finals? And like I just said, you'll have to listen for that part of the program in order to find out. And so, with that, right now, if you have friends and family who are interested in this show, you can tell them, you should tell them about this show, and you can tell them how they can be a part of this show. So here's what you can tell them to do. So this would be you to them. Even though it's me talking right now, this would be you to them. Now, you go to blogtalkradio.com. Once again, that is blogtalkradio.com, all one word. Once you type that in, you'll see a search bar. In the search bar, you will type in Upfront Entertainment. After you type in Upfront Entertainment, you will see a link. And I want you to click on that link because the link will take you to, the link will say Live and Large. And that is the name of our channel. and we've done over 160 episodes now. All the episodes we've done are archived. And I freely invite you to go back and take a listen. We've been doing this for just about 11 months. And by the way, so the 25th of this month will be the 11-month anniversary. And then, basically 30 days after that, will be our one-year anniversary. And the one-year anniversary show is going to be kind of fun. Going to be pretty fun. I don't know what all I'm going to do yet, but I will sing one Christmas song, maybe two. The only reason for that, don't get mad at me, but that is the designated day for Christmas in July. So I figured I would celebrate that by singing you at least one Christmas song. Actually, it'll be two to kind of show you what I did last year at Christmas. And then I'm still doing this at Christmas time this year. I do plan to continue doing it that way. And so I'm not going to teach on Christmas, though, because on that night, most likely because the real Christmas time is actually in December. It's not in July, but something fun. And I just think it's going to be a fun show. But goes to show approximately how long we've been on the air. As we launched this on July 25th of last year. Now, the first time we did a Blog Talk Radio show, it wasn't quite as scripted. It wasn't quite as... And then the next time even was kind of a train. But after about the second show, then later on we started to get more and more and more structured. And that's how we've evolved into what we are now. Praise God. And so by the way, when you get on the website, we want you to hit that follow button. Because when you hit the follow button, you're gonna get notified when we get ready to do our next show. For example, Monday the 25th. 6:30. We're going to do another show. Same thing with Tuesday the 26th and Wednesday the 27th. And then we got an announcement to make about the next week, but I will do that next week. So hit that follow button. And remember something. It is always a smart thing to listen to this program on your smartphone. And we truly believe it. We truly believe that. It is always a smart thing to listen to this program on your smart device. Now, we have a telephone number that you can call in. And we can pray. We can talk about generally whatever you want to talk about. We have one exception, and that is politics. But I do want to say one thing really quick. I want to thank our president for issuing the executive order that says it mandates that families, even though, you know, it's going to stay no tolerance policy on the illegal immigration, you know, and they're going to stay stepped up, that families and with parents and children will stay together. They will not be separated anymore. So that really helps clarify some things. So that way, it can be better. I just want to thank President Trump for that. But that's the only politics that'll be on the show tonight. If you call in and want to talk about politics, we're going to tell you to pray for your leaders, and we're going to tell you to vote. And the telephone number that you can call us in at and to talk with us is area code 215-383-3810. Once again, that telephone number is 215-383-3810. Listen for the prompts, and then when you hear the prompt that tells you to press 1, by all means, press 1. And what the, and what's going to happen then is you're going to go to the call screen. Then my assistant, Josh, sitting over here, he will let you know. If you can pick that, if you can clean this up, please. He will let me know. Excuse me. I mean, he will let me know that we have a caller calling in. And then we can go from there. And so with that, let's open up with the word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this wonderful show. I thank you, Lord God, that you bless these listeners who have joined me tonight. Wherever they may be, whatever they, device they may be using, Lord God, you know what they have needed. You know things that I don't know, Lord. I thank you, Lord God, that you minister to these people tonight as I speak, as I read your word. I thank you, Lord God, that these people, today they will be taught the word of God. Their heart will be, their mind will be alert, and their heart will be receptive. And that these people will never be the same, never, never, never. And I thank you, Lord God, that they will have a heart to receive of you. And I thank you that you will work on the inside of these people. As you work, as we all know, Lord, you're working on the inside of us all the time. You're working on the inside. And you're in the inside. You're working on the outside. And you're helping us, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you bless me tonight as we open your word in a minute. In just a couple brief minutes, we're going to open up the word, your word, Lord Jesus. And I thank you that you'd bless me and you'd show me what to say as I exhort, Lord. And that I would be an oracle for you. And Lord God, I pray tonight, I confess tonight that finances come to the show, sponsors come to the show who want to help me do this work, I thank you, Lord God, that new equipment comes to the show and increases in listenership come to the show. I claim that more and more and more and more people will find out about the show and will begin to listen to the show and will hear of your word. And I thank you, Lord God, that we win souls through you, Jesus, on this show. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' name, amen. I was going to get into the Word of God, but right then, but I was just thinking about just Jesus on the inside, working on the outside, and I was thinking about awesome song that is very old, but it's pretty fun. It's pretty upbeat. So with that, here we go. Oh, Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. Jesus on the inside, working on the outside, over the change in my life. For the blood that Jesus shed, Jesus said, cleanse me like he said. Oh, what a change in my life. I'm not the same anymore since I walked in heaven's door. I'm not the same anymore since I walked through heaven's door. I'm not the same anymore since I walk through heaven's door. And I'm not the same anymore since I walk through heaven's door. I'm talking Jesus on the inside, looking on the outside. Oh, what a change on my life. Jesus on the inside, looking on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. For the blood that Jesus shed, Jesus cleansed me like he said. Oh, what a change in my life. Oh, what a change in my life. Praise God. And when you get Jesus working on the inside of you, he does something awesome for you. He does. I mean, he's an awesome God. He really is an awesome God. Hey, it doesn't hurt to change some things around once in a while. So now, let's go to Numbers chapter 28. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. Now, sorry about that. Sorry about that, folks. Don't worry about that. My phone thing. So I just pushed that number so that you wouldn't hear my phone again unless I push it. Because when I push it, it's just to help me manage time. Go to Numbers chapter 29. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. And, you know, I really do try to sing at least one song a week on the show. It's not like anyone's asking me to or anything like that. It's just another way I like to bring glory to God. And I am a singer, you know, I love singing. I was in the choir at Living Word, but they kind of discontinued it. That's why I haven't been doing it. But, you know. And I have good memory of a lot of different songs. And I do love and appreciate a lot of the old songs. So that is why sometimes when I sing, sometimes you will hear some kind of old songs from like the 1990s or other time periods. I try to pick out songs that I think that really speak volume. You know? I either try to relate it sometimes maybe to what I want to teach, or sometimes it might just be one, like the one I just sang about how Jesus is just working on the inside, how Jesus is on our inside and he's working on the outside, and it's just praising God for what he's done in us, and he's going to do it, going to do in us. So you know, that's why I do it how I do it. And who knows? Maybe someday I might make a worship album. Who knows? It all depends. Now, Numbers 29. Thank you for your word, Jesus. Thank you for your word. And on the first day of the seventh month, hold a sacred assembly and do no regular work. Now, this is God. This is God talking to the Israelites. It is the day for you to sound the trumpets as an aroma pleasing to the Lord. Prepare a burnt offering with a young bull, a ram, and seven male lambs a year old, all without defect. With the bull, prepare a grain offering with 3/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil. With the ram, 2/10, and with each of the seven lambs, 1/10. Include a male goat as a sin offering to make atonement for you. These are in addition to the monthly and daily burnt offerings from their grain offerings and drink offerings as specified. They are offerings made by the Lord and made to the Lord by fire, a pleasing aroma. On the 10th day of this 10th month, hold a sacred assembly. You must deny yourselves and do no work. Present as an aroma pleasing to the Lord a burnt offering, 1 young bull, 1 ram, and 7 male lambs a year old, all without defect. With the bull, prepare a grain offering of 3/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil. With the ram, 2/10, and with each of the seven lambs, 1/10, and include 1 male goat as a sin offering, in addition to the sin offering for atonement and the regular burnt offering with its grain offering and their drink offerings. On the 15th day of the seventh month, hold a sacred assembly and do no regular work. Celebrate a festival to the Lord for 7 days. Present an offering made by fire as an aroma pleasing to the Lord, the burnt offering. With 13 Young Bulls, two Rams, and 14 Lambs a year old, all without defect. And with each of the 13 bulls, prepare a grain offering with 3/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil. With each of the two rams, 2/10, and with each of the 14 lambs, 1/10. Include a male goat as a sin offering in addition to the regular burnt offering with its grain offering and drink offering. On the second day, prepare 12 young bulls, 2 rams, and 14 male rams a year old, all without defect, with bulls, rams, and lambs. Prepare their grain offerings and drink offerings according to the number specified. Include one male goat as a sin offering in addition to the regular burnt offering with its grain offering and their drink offering. On the third day, prepare 11 bulls, 2 rams, and 14 male lambs a year old, all without defect, the bulls, rams, and lambs. Prepare their grain offerings and drink offerings according to the number specified. Include a male goat as a sin offering in addition to the regular burnt offering with its grain offering and drink offering. On the fourth day, prepare 10 bulls, 2 rams, and 14 male lambs a year old, all without defect. With the bulls, rams, and lambs, prepare their grain offerings and drink offerings according to the number specified. Include a male goat as a sin offering in addition to the regular burnt offering with its grain offering and drink offering. And on the fourth day, prepare 9 bulls, 2 rams, 14 male lambs a year old, all without defect. For the bulls, rams, and lambs, prepare their grain offerings and drink offerings according to the number specified. And include a male goat as a sin offering in addition to the regular burnt offering with its grain offering and drink offering. On the sixth day, prepare 8 bulls, 2 rams, 14 male lambs a year old, all without defect. With the bulls, rams, and lambs, prepare their grain offerings and drink offerings according to the number specified. Include a male goat as a sin offering in addition to the regular burnt offering with its grain offering and drink offering. On the seventh day, prepare 7 bulls, 2 rams, and 14 male lambs a year old, all without defect. With the bull, rams, and lambs, prepare their grain offerings and drink offerings according to the number specified. Include a male goat as a sin offering in addition to the regular burnt offering with its grain offering and drink offering. On the seventh day, hold an assembly and do no regular work. Present an offering made by fire as an aroma pleasing to the Lord, a burnt offering with 1 bull, a ram, 7 male lambs a year old, all without defect. With the bull, ram, and the lambs, prepare their grain offerings and drink offerings according to the number specified. Include a male goat as a sin offering in addition to the regular burnt offering with its grain offering and drink offering, in addition to what you vow and your free will offerings, prepare these for the Lord at your appointed feasts, your burnt offerings, your grain offerings, drink offerings, and fellowship offerings. Moses told the Israelites all that the Lord commanded him. All right, let's go to Hebrews 11. Josh, can you clean this up? I spilled some Coke here. Sorry about that, folks. But we're going to Hebrews 11, as I said. Hebrews 11. Hebrews chapter 11. There are two sounds that pastor loves to hear. Pages turning and checks being ripped out of checks. It's not my opinion. That's Dr. Buckley. Just thought I'd sneak that in there while I'm turning in my Bible. Who says we can't tell a joke once in a while? Not me. All right. Here in Hebrews 11. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for. Wait a minute. Look at this now faith part. I've heard a couple different preachers in my church preach that faith is now. Faith is now. Now faith is. Now. All right. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for, by faith, that we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not just made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God as a better sacrifice. Abel offered God a better sacrifice than what Cain did, and by faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life, so he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. For without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must first believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when he was warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, he built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and came clear of the righteousness that comes by faith. He became higher of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and he went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city of foundations, whose architect and builder is God. by faith Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father, because he considered him faithful who made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All of these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, he blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt, and he gave instructions about his bones. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw that he was no ordinary child. They were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, he refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose instead to be mistreated along with the people of God, rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. And by faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who was invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. And when the Egyptians tried to do so, Hannah was there, and Hannah helped them, and so did the other cute girls from Plymouth. And they were just there, and they, you know, they comforted them. Oh, does it say that? Oh. Instead it says, verse 29, again, we're going to read it right. By faith the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. By faith the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. What more shall I say? I don't have the time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned into strength, and who came powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. And women received back their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured and they refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed into. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. They were all commended for their faith, yet none had received what had been promised. When God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Only with us. Only with us would they be made perfect. Only with us. Now, verse 1 of chapter 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, and let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat at the right hand of the throne of God. All right. Now, let me tell you something. When God created the earth, he had to speak things into being. He said, let there be light. There was light. He said, let there be an expanse over the earth. It was so, God called it sky. He said, dry land appear in between the waters, you know, the oceans, rivers, lakes. It was so, God called the dry land earth. He said, you know, let the animals bear fruit of their kind. It was so. And then, you know, he rested. But those things didn't just happen. We didn't come from monkeys. We did not come from monkeys. We did not. Yeah, Miracle Man, you're just scared of the evolution, people. I don't care. We were created. We did not come from monkeys. But that's not my point of this lesson. My point of this lesson is to show you that God had to speak those things that were not into being. So, let me try this. I command my eyes to see, and I command my right ear to hear normal without a hearing aid. I just used faith. I just called something that is not and do it once. That's what you're doing when you make a faith confession. You should be calling those things, if you're believing for things, you should be calling what is not as though it was. For example, I have big amounts of money coming in. I have, you know, insert what you're believing for. I have this job opportunity. I have this, you know. And part of having faith is having a good confession. You have to ask God. We have a verse in the Bible. It tells us, the reason you have not is because you ask not. And when you do ask, you ask amiss. So, you believe in God or something. It's very important that you're making a confession. Maybe it's a confession you write out. Maybe it's just a confession you've memorized. Maybe it's just confessing the things that are not as though they are. But if you're believing for things, miracles to happen in your life, it is very important that confession is part of it. You have to confess healing over your body. You must confess it. Confession, I can't stress enough, you know, you got to let God know with your mouth. And let's just say you were mute, you know, you can't speak. Then you can write it on a piece of paper and God will hear you. We'll see it. But, you know, God wants you to hear it. God wants to hear it. God wants to hear you. Speak with your own lips, calling things that are not as though they were that you're believing for. Matthew says, if you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Believing. You can't just say something and have doubt. You got to believe God, too. You must believe God. Now, multiple times, Jesus would heal people, but the disciples would be having doubt. Multiple disciples would be having doubts. Some of them had doubt problems. They couldn't stop doubting. You must have faith in God and not doubt. You can't have this unbelief in God. You've got to believe that He is true and that He will do what He said He would do in His Word. Praise God, we must believe. We've got to believe. And also, another good thing we need to do, like I talked about earlier, confession. Confession must be made. You know? And you've got to stop making bad confessions over your body or your finances or whatever. Stop saying words like, I won't amount to anything, I'm broke, I'm poor, I have diabetes, I have cancer, I have emphysema, I'm in a wheelchair for the rest of my life, I'm blind. Stop! Those are negative confessions. And if you just speak that stuff all the time, not doing anything, you're going to be stuck where you are as soon as you get God on the scene and change that confession to, I curse you, diabetes. I curse you, cancer. I claim that in the name of Jesus that I am no longer lame. I claim that my muscles, I call you back muscles and leg muscles to be strong and get out of this wheelchair and walk. And Lord, I call my eyes to see, my ears to hear. And I also say, Lord, I claim that in the name of Jesus, big amounts of money come into my life. I am blessed. I have a good job. I am loved, received, and accepted. I do have more than enough. Etc. Even with athletes, as I do, you know, I enjoy sports and that. So, athletes, you can try this. Say, Lord, I am a great athlete. I know you will help me to be the best player I can be. I claim, you can say, like at tryout, if you're trying out for your football team at high school or middle school or something, if they'll say your good position is quarterback, you say, I'm the best quarterback they have. I claim that when I try out, I'll be the best quarterback on that whole squad. And I claim that I will be chosen as the starting quarterback. And I claim, Lord God, that you will keep me healthy so that I can be at my best for the team. And that you will help me and use me as a good football player. Or basketball or hockey. Imagine if we had more Christian professional athletes who confessed that they were great players under God and asked for God to help them. Imagine, you know, all the help and that they get from their coaches, all their advice and everything. And then just imagine they get God on scene too. Imagine. Just imagine what they could do. Just imagine. You know? And so, confession. Very important part of faith and believing for a miracle. And you've got to watch. And when you make a bad confession, you got to watch those bad confessions. I would suggest if you're married and you spend a lot of time with your wife, I recommend that you have them watch and you have them tell you when they hear you making a bad confession. Because you got to stop making bad confessions over yourself. And instead, speak good confessions only over yourself. I know we're not perfect. But God can help us. And so, Lord Jesus, in closing, Lord, I pray over these listeners tonight. I pray that you will help us get this in our spirit, Lord, this confession thing. I thank you, Lord, that you will help us with this. You'll help us stop making bad confessions, Lord. And I'm not going to be all prideful about it. I do good, but I'm trying to think of anybody who's perfect at this, but Thank you, Lord God, that you will help us all, Lord. And Lord, pray that you would help us to discern. And that I claim, Lord, that you somehow would let us know when we speak a bad confession over ourselves. So that we can correct it. As you want to work on the inside of us. You are working on the inside of us, Lord, and I thank you, Lord God, for our miracles coming to pass. And I thank you, Lord God, for this wonderful time tonight. And I pray, Lord, that these listening, if any one of them do not know you, may they find you tonight. May they call me right now. And I'll help them. And I'll show them. And I'll help them get right with you, Lord. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. The Detroit Tigers played a series in Cincinnati yesterday and today. Yesterday, the Detroit Tigers got walloped by a score of 9-1. Matt Boyd was the losing pitcher. He gave up 5 runs on a bunch of hits in like 5 innings. Sometimes Matt Boyd, you never know. Sometimes he's really good. Other times, not so much. And Cleveland Indians won, so that meant we went from being down 3 games to being down 4. Today, however, the Tigers get a 3-1 win. And Michael Fulmer gets the win today. Our ace, he gets the win for the Tigers. Who now will be coming back home soon. I will be at the Tigers game on Friday, July 6th. It will be a fireworks night at the ballpark, and I will be there live to partake in the fireworks. And I know, I just know that it's going to be a great night. I'm going to have fun. And then the next show I do after that, I will tell you live how it went. And so I think it's going to be really cool. One cool thing that happened today is one of our players hit an opposite the field home run. Which is kind of rare that you see that, but they did it. I thought that was pretty cool. So, keep out watching the Tigers. Now, about this LeBron thing. I was listening to a show last night on ESPN 100.9 FM. And they were giving their 2 cents worth on where they think LeBron's going to go. They both think LeBron is going to choose the Lakers. Let's face it. He could go to Boston, maybe. He won't be going to Houston. They don't have the cash for him. I think there is a good chance he could go to Los Angeles. I really do. I really do. And if they can get some other good pieces, I think they could be a candidate team to surprise the Warriors in the playoffs and take them out in one of the rounds based on how they do. And so I really think they would knock out the Warriors in the Western Conference Finals. How could they do in the East? It's hard to tell. How could they do in the finals playing an East team if they got that far? It's hard to tell. Do I think that Cleveland not having LeBron could help the Pistons in regard to Eastern Conference play? Well, since they play like four games a year, I think it could be a little bit of a factor, possibly, as to whether or not they make the playoffs. I'm not saying the Pistons wouldn't have an incentive to do better. All I'm saying is that it wouldn't, it could be a factor. But to be honest with you, I could very easily see King James going to the Los Angeles Lakers as they'll try to make the Lakers great again, like they used to be. Or maybe the Bulls. Maybe the Bulls. Who knows? Just maybe. I'd like to see the Bulls great again, too. Oh, but we have a problem. They're in the same division as the Pistons, so nope. I'd like to say Detroit take that division back. As we try to make the Little Caesars Arena roar. And so, with that, I confess Psalm 91 over us in the name of Jesus. I say that no plague shall come near us or our immediate loved ones. We're going to live in great safety and protection. Thank you, Lord God, that we will have no sickness, no disease, no murderer, no burglar, no suicide, no fire, no flood, no crash, no terrorist, no homicide, no drowning. None of these evil things, no drug or drunk driver, none of that stuff is going to come anywhere near us or our immediate loved ones. And we are going to be in great peace, great joy, and prosperity, and be a powerful witness for you, Jesus. We give you praise and honor and glory for that. And with that, folks, until Monday, God first, God always. So long, everybody, and I will see you next week. Have a good weekend, everyone.